Oh, you're so good, Papa. You're so good. It's good God, bad devil, and don't get them confused. Bible says every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation nor shadow of turning. He doesn't change. That means he's always good. If it's good, it comes from God. If it's not good, it doesn't come from God. And God will change it. Because he always gets the last say. Don't know about you, but I've read the end of the book and we won.
That's right.
Oh, Papa, we're so thankful that we can know that we won. So if you haven't won yet, the fight's not over. Thank you, Papa. Thank you, Papa. Lord, thank you for everything that you have for us. And Lord, as we look into your word this morning, I pray that you will speak into our hearts in an even greater measure the reassurance that you have amazing things in store for us. In fact, your word says that eye has not even seen and our ear hasn't heard. Lord, we can't even imagine how wonderful the things are that you've prepared for us, and you've given us great imaginations. So, Lord, all we can say is it's pretty awesome. But, Father, we know that it's not just when we get to heaven, but we're called to be those who bring heaven to earth. Father, we're called to be those that bring your goodness, your plan, your greatness, your love, your mercy, your kindness into this earth now. We thank you for that. Thank you, Lord. You're so good. You're so good. Amen. Well, if you haven't got a glimpse of it yet, Papa God has got some amazing things in store for us. And we're not just talking heaven. We're talking about the heart of God for what he wants to do in our midst. Great, I'm preaching here for a few moments. I feel like there is a real anticipation in the body of Christ for what God wants to do. And we started this year talking about embracing the new, because I know that God not only wants to bring the new, but he wants us to lay hold of it. He doesn't want us to be spectators. He wants us to be participators. So I'm going to start this morning with some quotes of what people have said about where we are at and this year and where God is taking us. These are the beginning of the days of acceleration, James Goll. A year of unexpected and extraordinary turnarounds, Nathan Shaw. 2018 is the year of the Holy Ghost and fire, Kenneth Copeland. The church will come out of hiding when Billy Graham dies, Benny Hinn. Interesting statement. We are in the greatest transition in the kingdom since the time of the cross. That's a pretty weighty statement. It's an incredible statement. See, most of the body of Christ looks back to the days of Acts. Most of the body of Christ is thinking, wow, what God did in the days of Acts, that was awesome. But the Bible promises that the latter rain will be greater than the former rain. In other words, what God wants to do in this time is greater than what he did in that time. Good, I'm getting some responses to that, and some of you are wanting to take photos. I can forward it to you if you like. But there's some amazing things happening there. See, some people are calling this Reformation 2. Who's heard of the Reformation? Okay, then let me help you with it. Guy called Martin Luther. October 31, 1517, he nailed his proclamation to the church door, and he started what became the Protestant movement. And he had a thesis. I believe that there are 91 things in all on this thesis. But the first one was that the just shall live by faith. See, back in those days, it was purely the Catholic Church, and you had to do many things like pay. And if you watch movies, you see things like, you know, people believing that their babies that died before they were baptized are like fireflies and they can never rest. There was so much misunderstanding and superstition and tradition and people doing penance to try and get into heaven. And this amazing man said, no. All that we need is faith in the blood of Christ. We are saved through faith. Now, we take that for granted, but that has been proclaimed for 500 years. And now even the Catholic Church has got hold of it as well. Thank you, Jesus. As well, he talked about the priority of the Bible. Why? Because people didn't know the Bible. They were bound by the tradition of the priests and those who supposedly knew what it said, but it was all written in Latin. And you went to church and they read it to you in Latin. But only the very learned knew Latin. The third thing was the priesthood of the believer. Luther said that the milkmaid and the ploughman are also priests of God. Now, in the last 500 years, most of us have come to accept those first two things without question. But the third one, we haven't seen much movement on. Everybody's still thinking it's about the people who stand behind a pulpit. And Reformation 2 will be the releasing of the body of Christ and the priesthood of the believer. That's why I threw in for you that quote by Benny Hinn about when Billy Graham dies, the body of Christ will come out of hiding. We live in amazing times. God is doing amazing things. One of the things that has been prophesied is a billion soul harvest. That's awesome. But let me bring that down to practicalities for you. See, babies belong in a family. Now, over 80% of the body of Christ are in churches that are less than 100 people. So let's take the number 100. If we have a billion soul harvest and we have all those believers grouped into groups of 100, guess how many pastors we will need? 10 million. Guess what's going to happen in the body of Christ when the harvest starts to come in? Everybody who has walked with God is going to find that they're going to have some followers behind them saying, teach me. And that's what the Bible says, that there'll be people who will say, let's go up to Zion, teach me of his ways, tell me what you know. And the whole emphasis, who's aware of the fact that for years now, one of the key words that's been spoken in the body of Christ has been alignment. Or alignment with what? If you're going to bring something into alignment, that means that you're going to line it up with something. Kid on the farm, I used to love going with Dad, and he would be building a fence, and he'd set one post and then he would set the next post, and it was in alignment. See, to bring us into alignment is to bring us so that we line up with Christ and we line up with his purpose in the earth. It's more than just a great word to bandy around. Oh yes, alignment, God's bringing me into alignment. Great, what does that look like? What's he doing? How are you lining up with things in your life? Tell me more about that. Yeah, John says, ouch. In my flatting days, they used to call me Practical Pam. I came from a farm. Bunch of girls, I was the only one that had a screwdriver and a hammer. Let's get practical. Let's not just say, oh, well, God's bringing us into alignment. That's fine, I'm just living life as normal. Let's find out what God's doing and let's become part of it. So this morning, I want to start talking about something that we're going to be talking about probably for a few months. And it's this whole area of purpose and vision and about living in alignment with heaven. So let's start by just giving you a couple of definitions so we're all on the same page. Because you'll hear the word purpose and vision bandied around quite a little bit. So let's make sure that we all understand what we're talking about. So what is purpose? Well, purpose is our God-given mandate. It's what God has said to us. So God is a very purposeful God. If you look in the book of Genesis, when God created this earth, he didn't say, okay, let's have Africa. Africa come forth. Oh, yeah, I suppose that looks all right. Let's try Asia. No, he went about systematically saying, okay, let's put some fish in the water. Let's have some dry land. That'd be good if we're going to plant some trees. Let's have some dry land for them. God is a God of purpose. He's a God of intent. So purpose, number one, is our God-given mandate. Vision. Vision is simply what we see. That's why they call it a vision. And vision is often a little bit more detailed, because with vision, you've got your long-range vision, what you can see way off in your future, 5, 10, 20 years from now. It can also be short-range. What do you see this year? What's this year going to look like? What do you see in your heart for what God wants to do in your life? And let me throw in another one for you that we'll pick up later. Mission. Mission is what we do to accomplish what we see. And some people kind of forget about that part. It's like, yeah, I've got this purpose, got this vision. Well, how are you going to do it? Oh, I don't know. Great vision. Yeah, how are you moving towards it? Don't know, but wow, it looks great. So we need to bring these things down and say, okay, what's the mission? What are the steps that you're taking towards your vision? But I think when it comes to a lot of the body of Christ, when you actually start to talk to them about vision, I find that most people are rather vague. It's like, well, I kind of think that just maybe God might want me to do, well, yeah, I wasn't quite sure. There's not that many people in the body of Christ who can tell you what their vision is. So if you're one of those people, relax this morning. We're going to take a journey together, and we're going to start moving towards an awareness of who God has called us to be corporately and individually. And I believe that's something that God has got for us this year, where people start to have an understanding of this is who I am and this is what I'm called to. That would have been a good place to say amen. One of the reasons I think people struggle to understand vision and they struggle to make sense of what they're trying to see that God has for them is because they have not laid hold of purpose. Purpose becomes your foundation. Or let me put it for you another way. To understand vision, it needs to be framed within purpose. When you understand purpose, it's what opens a window in the wall in front of you and enables you to see beyond where you are at. And I think there's quite a few people in the body of Christ who are living life. They get up in the morning, they go to work, they come home, they eat their meal, they pay a few bills, they say hello to whoever else is in the family, they go to bed, they get up in the morning and they go to work, and they come home and they spend whatever time they've got being with the people they love. Then they go to bed and they get up in the morning and they go to work. Anybody familiar with a lifestyle like that? See, chances are you are living with a wall in front of you that's saying same day every day, day in, day out. But God wants you to see beyond. And the first key to seeing beyond and starting to get a grasp of what it is that God has for you is to understand purpose. To understand what he wants to accomplish in this earth. What is your purpose in being? They've done a survey and they've asked people, if you could ask God one question and get an answer, what would that question be? All of you are thinking, huh? It's good. The number one question, which was greater than number two and number three put together was, what's my purpose? Why am I here? What am I here for? Some of you can just nod. My encouragement is to start to frame your life with an understanding of purpose. Or let me put it for you another way. See, some of us have some ideas, we have some elements, and we're trying to put it all together into this picture that makes sense. Purpose is the frame for vision. Vision needs a frame so that you can put it on the wall and see what it is that God has for you. Now, over the next couple of months, we will show this picture to you probably a few times. It's a depiction of vision set within a frame. But my encouragement to you this morning is first find out the frame. Establish a frame in your life. Let it frame what you already have, or let it give you the ability to see through that window, to see beyond where you're at. Let's look at this verse, Colossians 1 verse 16. I've brought it for you in the Message Bible. For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. Purpose is something that we discover because it's in him. We're God's idea. He made this world, and he did an awesome job. And then he said, let's make man. Let's make him like us. Let's make them male and female. Let's see how they cope with that one. God's three in one. So he made us to have that relationship, a man and a woman in God. But let's not get sidetracked. Purpose. Who we are created to be, what we are created to do. Those are the two key aspects of purpose. Sadly, when there is overemphasis in one area, there's usually a pendulum swing and it swings back the other way. We've gone through a period of time when everything has been performance driven and a lot of people have been do out of performance without an understanding of grace. Lacking that understanding of God's love for them. But there's been a swing the other way where the emphasis has become, well, we just be. We're human beings, not human doings. Let me help you bring that back a little bit to the middle. We do what we are, and we are what we do. Doing and being are always tied together. So I think we're going to have fun as we go through this series. I will be dealing with two aspects as we look at this together. I will be dealing with the corporate aspect. So when we get on to talking about vision, we will talk about the corporate vision of the church. But then we'll break that down and we will start talking about personal vision. How do you find personal vision? So this morning I'm going to start by talking about the purpose of the church. Then I'm going to give you some keys to help you find purpose for your own life and to help you find that window frame or picture frame, whatever it needs to be in your life. So let's start with pursuit. Our purpose statement is touching the heart of God, impacting the heart of man, releasing the kingdom of heaven. Those three capture for us God's purpose for us in being a church. Number one, touching the heart of God. It's put in a way that expresses the intimacy that we believe God has for us as a body. That he wants us to know that we can be close. It's about knowing him. It's about living out of relationship with him. It's about knowing that he is Papa and that what affects us affects him. If you're a parent here this morning, you know that what your kids are going through, you feel. See, we don't have a God who's not touched by our weaknesses and our struggles and what we're going through. He laughs when we laugh. He weeps when we weep. And as a body of believers, we believe that our first and foremost purpose is to have that connection with Papa. And when we start to understand purpose, that helps you start to understand why when you come on a Sunday morning, we will worship for an hour. Some churches won't. For some churches, 20 minutes is enough. But it's not here, and you will find that most of our songs are spoken to God or about God. They're very intimate, the songs that we sing. I will give you all my worship. They're not songs that say, well, God's good, and I hope you read your Bible, and I hope you do what you're meant to do, and go home and be good. No, that first aspect, touching the heart of God, then impacting the heart of man. We believe that part of our purpose is that when we come together, that we have that manifest presence of God where lives are touched. Key words like transformation, restoration. They're words that we will talk about some more. Because we believe that when we come together, Jesus said, if there's just two or three of you there, I'm going to be there too. Because I want to be with you. And part of our purpose when we come together is to see people's lives impacted. For people to come in here and go, wow, God just really touched me this morning. We know that's part of our purpose as a church. We're not the lions or the whatever that are just wanting to do good. No. Our purpose is to have God impact you. That's what church is about. And then the third aspect, releasing the kingdom of heaven. The awareness that we are ones that bring heaven to earth. We are the ones that go out there and we take what we have received and we give it away. And we believe that part of the purpose of the church is to raise up people who can go out and can impact their world. That we're more than a bless me club. I will take all the blessings I can get, and I'm sure you are the same. But I believe God is saying, my body is meant to be my representative in the earth. And I want you to take what you receive on a Sunday and give it out on Monday. Good, I got some people with me this morning. That's great. When we understand purpose, then we've got the framework to look at vision. When we know what God wants, what God has said, then we can start within that context to paint the picture that He has for us. So in the time that's left, let's look at what that means for us as individuals. One person who has done this very well in bringing it to the body of Christ is a guy called Rick Warren. He has written The Purpose-Driven Life. That's the old version of what the book looks like. That's the new version of what the book looks like. Answers the question, what on earth am I here for? He also does a book called The Purpose-Driven Church. But I encourage you, if you have not read this book yet and you haven't got a clue what your vision is all about, then start here. Start by finding out what God's purpose was in putting you on this planet. This book is in the library. It's a good read. But in a nutshell, he takes the Great Commandment and the Great Commission, and he comes up with the purposes that God has for each and every one of us. From the Great Commandment, worship. Love the Lord with all your heart. That we are made for this love relationship with God. Number two, ministry. Love your neighbour as yourself. It's no good just loving God if you can't love your brother. The second aspect is ministry. The third aspect comes from the Great Commission. Go and make disciples. John 3:16, God so loved the world. He loves every single person on this planet, and he's delaying coming back because on his heart is this billion soul harvest. He wants to gather people into his kingdom. Number four, fellowship, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That is more than water baptism, folks. To baptize is to immerse, and to immerse into the name of the Father is to immerse somebody in their identity where they know who they are. They're a son or daughter of God. To immerse somebody into the name of the Son is to immerse somebody into the understanding of everything that Jesus did on the cross. And to immerse somebody into the Holy Spirit is to immerse us into the understanding of what Holy Spirit wants to do through us, to prophesy, to bring hope, to bring healing, to bring deliverance. And that ties in with the last aspect, teaching them to obey, which is discipleship, which is growing. Growing up in God. I I can always email this to people if you want a copy of it. Or it's in the book. He has put it into what he calls a baseball diamond. Start at the bottom with knowing Christ, growing in Christ, serving Christ, sharing Christ, and all centered on worship. Who has seen this diagram before? One of you, two of you. Wow. Three of you. I feel like an auctioneer. Four of you. Folks, it's when we understand the basic purpose for which we are here that we start to build that frame in our life that enables us to see the vision that God has for us individually. So I'm going to end this morning, with a little assessment. This is not to shame anybody, it's to help you. I'll get Ray and I'll get John. If you need a piece of paper, raise your hand. These guys will wander around with a little pad. If you want a piece of paper, then they will give you a piece of paper. Yeah, on the front row here. Oh. Now, if you need a pen, Kevin knows where to grab the pens from. This is very simple, very easy. I actually have a full version of this assessment. Again, if you want a copy of it, I can email it to you. It's not to shame you. It's purely to help you see what aspects of purpose you need to establish strong in your life. Because if you don't have those five aspects of purpose strong in your life, you don't have the basis for pursuing your vision. So let's have a look at a very simple one. You're going to rank these five areas with either a 1, which means it doesn't describe you, or a 5, which means yes, it generally or usually describes you. So as we go through this, just write down a number. You're not passing in these pieces of paper. Relax, they're for you. You can put your hand round if you don't want anyone else to see what you're writing. But number 1, we were planned for God's pleasure. Our first purpose is to offer worship. Is being a person of worship, is that something that generally describes you? Well, the bigger the number, the better you see yourself at that area. And no, I'm not going to have people with 5s for all of them stand up. This is not a competition. Secondly, we were formed for God's family. Our second purpose is to enjoy fellowship. Is fellowship with other believers something that you generally give yourself to? Or is it something like, oh no, play with that, out of here as quick as I can? Third, we were created to become like Christ. Our third purpose is to learn discipleship. That means growing. Again, score yourself on that one. And if you're giving yourself 3s all the way through, that's not very helpful. You're wanting to identify the aspects of purpose that you need to focus on. fourth one, we were shaped for serving God. Our fourth purpose is to practice ministry. If your attitude is, bless God, I'm not doing that, then your number will be smaller than somebody who has a heart to bless others and are doing that. Fifth one, we were made for a mission. Our fifth purpose is to live out evangelism. Is that a true statement regarding you? Or is that something you go, oh no, not me. That's for the YWAMers. You can fold your piece of paper in half if you like so nobody sees it but you, or you may want to circle the one that has the lowest score and write down what it is. Again, if people want this, I can email it to you. Let's lay hold of what God has for us. Let's start with purpose and say, okay, Papa, this is why you have us on the planet. You have these five purposes. And let's start to line up with those purposes. And then we will start to talk about the individual aspects of who we are and our vision, which will incorporate our uniqueness and our strengths. But having said that, we need to still know that those five aspects are part of our life. As we finish, I want to share some words that I felt for some people here this morning. I saw a picture of a bricked up window. And it was a person who once saw far. You could see through the window, you could see a vision, you could see what you believed God had for you. But now you only see the wall in front of you. And you're like that person, it's the daily grind. I'm just doing it over and over, and I have no idea what I'm here for, and I can't see beyond my immediate now. You've lost your window in the wall. Second one was I saw a chasm, and it was a huge gap between where you were standing and what you saw as what God had for you. And I felt the Lord say this to me, that Jesus said, I've already bridged the gap. The cross is the bridge, but when your sin and failure and the dream that I have for you, the gap is crossed through the cross. There is no chasm for you because Jesus has already bridged it. And stop believing the lie that you cannot live in your dream. Then I saw the positioning of an umbrella. It was an umbrella, but it was on its side. And it was like the person was getting wet because the umbrella wasn't in position. And I saw that as the umbrella came into position, that it actually grew and enlarged, and it became like a big gazebo. And the person was able to be under the gazebo, and they were able to function and to do the things that they wanted to do. So to me, it speaks of the fact that there's some people here and you need that alignment in your life. You need to bring into position that umbrella. It's like you already have an understanding of purpose, but you haven't positioned it fully so that you are living under it. But as you start to live under purpose, it will take you towards vision. Then the last one that I had was a chili bin, or I think the Australians, I think, call it an esky. I can't remember what the Americans call it. And it was full and it was heavy. And I saw this person and they were taking this chili bin with them wherever they went. And it was massive, this thing. The only trouble was that they weren't opening it. They weren't accessing anything that was in it. And to me, it spoke of the fact that there are some people here and God has given you so much. It's time to lift the lid. It's time to start eating and partaking of what God's got for you. It's not just something to drag with you wherever you go. Papa, thank you. Thank you for this journey that we're starting on as a church and as individuals within this church. Father, I pray that you'll continue to speak to our hearts during the week regarding purpose, how we line up with purpose, what purpose looks like, what you have for each and every one of us in purpose, and how to bring that alignment in our life. So that purpose can become for us an open window. We thank you for that, Lord Jesus. Amen.